But then we take matzah and we make a sandwich. And then we wrap them together. We wrap them together and we have a sandwich. And we say something. We say, Zecher l'mikdash kihila. Kacha yehilu yisad izman shabesim shayikayam hayukach matzu moror v'oichlam b'yachad. And we quote a pasuk from Pesach Sheni. Now, alpi halacha, interesting that some hold that a person should be careful not to speak, not to even say, when do you say those words? The words of Zecher l'mikdash kihila. Do you say those words before you eat karech, or do you say it after you eat karech? So there are different
hugging.
Or do you say it? Well, no, everyone says it.
I understand, but
everyone says the question. When do you say those words? So let me see what it says. I pulled off a haggadah off the shelf, and it says karech lekeach kizayis mehamatzah hashlishis. The karchay im hamorer v'yoymer 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 v'oichel beheseba. No, so first of all, maybe the best thing to do is take the matzah, the maror, the lettuce, wrap it around the matzah. Well, an American sandwich. How do you make a sandwich in America? You have two slices of bread, and in between you have peanut butter. Or you have whatever you put in it, that's how you go with the bagel hole. They slice the bagel and they put the tuna fish in the middle. You have bread on top, bread on the bottom, and you have tuna fish in the center. That's how you make a sandwich in America. But who says that's the way they made a sandwich in Tamil Chazal? You can take two pieces of matzah on top, matzah on bottom, and some lettuce in the middle. No, I'd be much rather take one piece of matzah and take the moror and wrap the moror around the matzah.
If you're using
karei. Okay, so the truth is, you don't have to either go, oh, you need to take a piece of matzah and a piece of moror and eat it together. Does not mean, everybody, please. Getting too careful. I want to talk about it. Karech does not mean that you have to have two slices of matzah, one on top, one on the bottom. Karech just means you eat together at the same time matzah together with moror. Which means you can take a piece of matzah and so you're saying don't even eat it. You're saying
no.
You're saying don't even eat it.
Just
kairin. No, he's saying something. He's saying something very profound. Who says you have to actually eat it? Okay, who?
I'm not saying you should eat it.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you something better. Is there an inyan that you should make the sandwich yourself, or let the waiter do it for you? You just sit back and relax, and let the waiter bring you.
Says you should eat it.
Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni. It's not. That's the pasuk. No, you're asking something on both sides. You're asking here's a dilemma. This is very important. So is there, when we learned about charoses, we made this whole, drasha, we tried to dwell upon this thing, Rabelski alludes this, there's an inyan, no one does this, to bring a ceremony of, to bring the charoses to the Seder. You go to the average Seder, you come on the Seder plate, this charoses. Someone, you need more charoses, it comes time for more, they bring it from the kitchen, no one pays attention. From the Rambam, it's mashmah, no one does this, that there's a ceremony. There's a ceremony. Oh, we're now up to maror. Before we eat the maror, there's a ceremony. Bring in the charoses. That's what's mashmah, the Rambam. We tried to connect to what it says in the pasuk. Because the pasuk says, Pyro said, I'm no longer giving you tevin. You bring the tevin. We had a whole drush on this. Very good. Now it comes to karech. Karech, what do we do with karech? We take matzah and we have maror. We eat them together. You do not need, it is clear as day, you do not need to have a piece of matzah on top, a piece of matzah on the bottom, and more in the middle. There's no such thing. All korech means is b'yachad, oichel b'yachad, but there's something called korech. Zecher l'mikdash kach osa hila. This is the name of an asiya. Osa hila. This man shabes ha-mikdash shoyekayim. Hoya, korech. First, he would wrap. Karech means to wrap.
Right.
You have to remember, the Svardim, their mass is soft.
Right.
pita bread.
Life.
So they're able to take their matzah and they're able to wrap it around. But that doesn't say koyu koyrech. Originally, it would say Pesach matzah umoror. Why didn't it say koyu koyrech moror umatzah? When it comes Pesach matzah moror, all the mafarshim dwell upon this. Why is it in that order? Rabbi Yosef Lilover, kol vishlo amar shloisha dvarim halol bepesach lo yotzo yidei chayvasim. The Eluhain Pesach matzah moror. That's not the order. It should be moror, Pesach, and matzah. When the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim for 86 years, there was moror, and then there was Pesach. Lel Pesach, we ate the Korban Pesach, and then it was the morning of the 15th, Shalei Hispiku B'tzeikam Lahachmetz. So the order should be Moror, Pesach, Matzah. So why then does Rabbi Yosef HaGlili say, Kol Mishloi Ama Shloi Shadrom Olo Yosef Chavos, Meiling Pesach, Matzah, Moror. Moror is in the wrong place. So there are answers. There are answers. Same thing over here, the fact that when it comes to Korech, you can also be medactic in the words. He would be koyrech. What would he wrap together? Pesach, matzah, umoror. Should, if you're doing the wrapping is done. Well, what is the wrapping? There are different ways. If you have soft bread.
There are three pieces.
What three pieces? Korban, Pesach. Oh, so why then do we use the word koyrech? The word koyrech is misleading then. If it's true. That's called korech. It just means you will keach. You would take them together. The word korech has a connotation that there's a wrapping that is going on. There is an inyan to wrap something. Like today, it's very popular. Today, you go to the store, they sell wraps.
Wraps.
They have wraps. They wrap. What do they wrap? They wrap the bread. They wrap the dough. Do you make a hamotzi on there? Is that called pasabah b'kisnin, or is that called bread? Is that surasa de nahama? Is that called bread? Does that wrap? That's a pita wrap. Is that surasa de nahama? I don't know. That's not going. But the word that is used in the Haggadah is the word korech, which means to wrap. Question: what do you wrap? In ancient times, we know that at least by the side of even today, their matzah is soft. You could actually take the matzah and you could wrap the matzah around something else. Today, Ashkenaz and Al matzah is hard, you can't wrap. But whoever says the word wrap means it has to bend. Maybe wrap just means it has to cover. So maybe in a Hanani, maybe the proper way to make a sandwich is to have a piece of matzah below, a piece of matzah on top, and more in the center. Being that today our matzah is hard, it's not soft like the sardin. Maybe in a Hanani, maybe the proper way to make a sandwich is to have matzah on top, matzah on the bottom, because it does say the word korech. Or maybe who says the word korech goes on the matzah? Maybe korech goes on the morah. Maybe you have a piece of matzah in the center and take lettuce and wrap the lettuce around the matzah. All of these are different opinions, and no one's going to give you an answer. Korban Pesach, it means had to be on the inside, or maybe meat you could wrap. Maybe take a slice of meat. You have to look at the psukim. I don't know. But if these are different issues, if these are issues which I don't have the answers, but these are issues that are discussed by all the commentators. What exactly here is going on? Just take note of the issues. It says the word koyrech. Koyrech means to wrap. It doesn't just mean to take and put into your mouth. It's a wrap. Now, question number two, the order. No, but before we go around, what are you wrapping? Are you wrapping the bread around the morer, or are you wrapping the morer around the bread? What are you wrapping? And when you want to discuss what they are symbolic of, obviously there's a very, very big nafkamina in what exactly you're trying to do. Number three is the order. Why did Hillel use this order in this way? Pesach, matzah, umar. Why didn't he say moror, pesach, umatzah? Does the order change the meaning of what you're wrapping? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. And if it doesn't, the order should be Moror, because Moror came first, then it's Pesach Matzah, just like the classic question when you deal with Rabbi Yosef Lili, when he makes a list and he says three things, he puts them in a very precise order. Pesach is all about Seder, 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 Seder. Next dilemma, it says, Kach Hoya Oiseh. It gives you the impression that there is an element of doing it. Don't let the waiter bring out wraps. I'm sure you go to some of these fancy hotels. The waiter will come out with koyrech, all done for you, right? A wrap, the lettuce wrapped around the matzah, and they'll serve Who says that is correct? Maybe part of the ceremony of the Seder is for you to do it.
To do it yourself.
When it comes to the Yayin, we learned yesterday, Moyes Ginloy, someone else should dilute your wine. Today we don't dilute, so the whole thing, some will say it's pointless today. The whole Indian is to dilute. There's no dilution, there's no purpose. Adrab, you should pour the wine. Okay, but put that aside. But it seems pretty clear that there's an element of doing it yourself that is part of the ceremony, that's part of the service. Just like we discussed, there's an element of bringing, a ceremony of bringing the charoses to the table. The Rambam says to the Farish. Now is when you bring it. No one does this today, and you can't ignore what it says. And the Farish of the Ragelsky dwells upon that. There's such an Indian of bringing. So there's also an Indian over here of doing it yourself. Okay, now, put all that aside. Now, another very big issue. This is discussed with all of the Haggadahs, all of the heavy Haggadahs. They all discuss this Lomash HaKim in the Gemara. We already ate the mats. We already ate the Mara. Now we're making a sandwich. Why are you doing it? Why did Chazal institute that we should eat matzah and Mara again as a sandwich? We did it already. So here's the Chakir. Number, because this is Machlokes in the Gemara. This is Machlokes in the Gemara.
Why is this a pasuk? Al matzah umirom yachlu.
So the question is, al matzah is umirom yachlu. How do you translate first? That pasuk is said by Pesach Shein. And the similar pasuk of Pesach Rishon, there's a dilemma. There's a Machlokes in the Gemara. The Machlokes, does that mean you eat one at a time? Cereal? First, you have a carbon Pesach. And at the same meal, the meal that you're serving a carbon Pesach, first we eat the matzah, then we eat the maror, then we eat the karban pesach. When it says in the pasuk al matzahs umirorim yochlu, it means at this meal you eat one at a time. Don't combine them together. If you combine it together, you're looking for trouble. Mitzvahs, one can be mevatel the other. You put in your mouth two different things. The majority, whatever the majority is in your mouth, will cancel the other. Maybe yeah, maybe not. So there's a machlokes. One opinion says one at a time. And the other opinion says no. When the pasuk says you eat all three, it means the Torah is demanding this is the proper way to do the mitzvah. You eat all of them together. So it would appear that according to Hillel, when he made a Pesach Seder, he did not eat matzah, maror, Pesach. Right. He ate them only one time together.
Right.
So here we are in the year, Hey Alofim, Tavshin Pei Beis. We don't know who the halacha follows. We don't know. Is the halacha like the Chachamim? You should one at a time. Or maybe the halacha is like Hillel. We don't know who the halacha is. So It doesn't seem like that. It seems like Hillel only did all three together.
Right.
So we don't know. So what are we doing today? So today, so you can argue, we don't know what the halach is like. Okay, that's a separate, yes, that's a machlok. This, you have to go to the Gemara and analyze the Gemara, but the Gemara has two opinions. He asking very good questions, but this is not the point we want to make now. There are machlokes in the Gemara, the Chum and Hillel, exactly how you do the mitzvah. What about for us today? Today we're living now in this generation. All of a sudden, we don't know what the halacha is. We don't know the halacha. Does halacha follow the chachamim? Does halacha follow Hillel? We don't know. So Chazal, you know what? Do both.
Cover your bases.
No one's going to have tainus on you if you do both. So first, eat matzah, then eat gemara, and then l'chumra, and it's a din. It's a halacha. It's a takana. And adarava, some have a question. Why don't we make a bracha? We should make a seventh bracha. No, you can't do that because there's only one bracha. There's the bracha. You already made the bracha on Masi. You already made the bracha on the Maror. So this now is the Kiyum HaMitzvah. Now, if that would be correct, then what it says in this Haggadah would be wrong. In this Haggadah, I just pulled off the shelf randomly. It says, you take the Kiyum and you say these words, Zeicher L'Midosh Kehillel, and you say this whole thing. And then it says here in the Haggadah, V'Oichel Beheseba. You are mafsik. You're not allowed to go say, you don't want to speak. You made the bracha, Asher Kiddushan b'mitzvah Yisrael b'mitzvah Allah chilas matz. And then you ate the matz. Then you ate mora. Asher Kiddushan b'mitzvah Yisrael Allah chilas mora. It could be that it was a bracha levatollah. Because the only way you make the mitz is even b'yachad. So therefore, you have to be subject to the bracha that you said Allah chilas matz and the bracha of Allah chilas mora is still active.
And you're not yoitze the bracha is still pending until you take matzah and maror, combine them together and chew them together. If you're now going to make this statement, zeichem l'midas kehilah l'kein osel b'zman shemishu shakayon, it's a hefsek from the bracha. If the halacha is why this man has said we go, we do like Hillel does, because we have a suffix, we don't have a halacha, is a like the chacham, is a like Hillel, and if we want to cover all bases, we want to go do both, so you're not allowed to be mafsik. And indeed, in some haggadahs, they'll say, this haggadah, remove it from the bookstore. This is a terrible halachic mistake in this haggadah. You make this statement. Many haggadahs say that Yitzhak should say this after you.
Right.
After. Why? Because of hefsek. That also means don't talk, no talking. Eat the matzah. What? Eat the matzah tomorrow? You're not supposed to. If you hold it, there's seven mitzvahs, then you can talk. But if you hold that there's a suffix, then the same way you should wait for zeichel lemikdash afterwards, you should not speak between matzah and maror, because the brach is waiting. You said a brach of asher kiddushon b'mitzvos to serve alachilas matzah, and you only can be mekayim the mitzvah the rice of matzah together with maror. So if you're going to talk now after you finish eating the matzah, bring in the maror. Oh, what kind of maror do we have here today? That's a hefsek. Because when you're going to do koirech, which is going to be the ikar kiyum according to Hillel, then you are mafsik between the bracha of matzah and eating your koirech, and between maror and eating your koirech. You have to now talk all together. From the time you begin the bracha of matzah until you finish koirech, you're not allowed to be mafsik at all. And in many haggadahs, it actually says this. It's machin ranis. But the common man doesn't do this. The common man is not so makid. He eats the matzah, he takes a break. And then they bring them, everyone finishes, clean off the table. Now we'll do the maror, and then they take a break. Then they do the korech, and in between there's a conversation, and they say it the way it says here in the sagoda. They say it first, you take it in your hand, zeicher lemikdash kehillel. Okay, why? What's the pshat? Why? So then you'll come, you'll say, it is chazal, it's not a matter, if you're going to go follow that approach, it's not a matter of halacha. Halacha, the halacha is like the chachamim, and that's the end. The end. Mm-hmm. Finished. So why are you doing this now? Zeichel l'mikdash. Zeichel l'mikdash, she ate matzah, she ate maror.
No, the korban, because there was a korban.
Okay, you have to play with this. I wanted to suggest to you, I want to suggest. This is zeichel. This is zeichel. Okay, whatever the case, you want to go to the halacha. When you have Kalman is saying is when you have a carbon pesach, then the halacha is like Hillel. Then the only way to do it, you want to say okay. There are different zeichel lemikdash. We want to go cover some other things. We're going to take the calories. So basically, you say it's not a shaila of who the halacha follows. It's zeichel lemikdash. And how you explain that, there's a lot of technical information that needs to be elaborated upon to explain the zeichel l'migdash. I want to suggest to you something which I don't know if it's what I'm saying, but I certainly Belsky inspired me, and maybe really this is what he means to say. Maybe what he means to say. First of all, the whole seder is zeichel l'migdash. To say that we're doing this one thing now, Hillel, zeichel l'migdash, is a little strange. The whole seder is zeichel l'migdash. All of a sudden, this will prowl zeichel l'migdash. Excuse me. The whole purpose of doing this is to give kavod to the minhagim of what you don't do. In other words, you go to shul, right? Do you say yaitzos? Do you say yaitzos? No way. Not me. I wouldn't say yaitzos. I catch me dead saying yaitzos. Do you do, you say the yatzmach pokune v'kodev m'shichei? Not here. That's not our minute. If someone says v'yatzmach, v'kunei v'karev m'shichei, we throw out here. Eject. We have an issue.
He's a yatzmach.
The yatzmach. We have an eject.
I said he's a yatzmach.
The yatzmach. We have a special button that we press. We don't do that here. We don't say yoytras. We don't do that here. We are garto. Pesach Seder is a different tukuf. It's the Mesorah. And part of the Mesorah is, you know, it's like making a statement. Rabbi, I don't do this. This is not my name. But you know my Zayde or your Zayde, this is what he did. Let's give him cover. Let's show we're all part of the same team. And as a chavivus for someone else's Messiah, who's all part of the same team, we show respect. You don't do this any time of the year, because what is Pesach all about? You're giving over the legacy, the Messiah, to your children. The greatest way to give over the legacy to your children is by example. And when your children, they see, listen, I pass like the Chacham. I don't hold from this business of making sandwiches. I'm not in the business of making sandwiches. I follow the Chachamim. I'm a Litvak. I'm a Kalta Litvak. I eat matzah. I eat maror. And I'm done. I'm done. That's it. My children are watching. I want them to go in my way. I want, when they become adults, they should be sitting by their Pesach Seder and doing my minhagim and carrying the Messiah to the next generation. If I'm going to be a stubborn mule and come to my Seder, this is how I do it. The Chachamim, Matzah, Morar, there's no other way. There's no tolerance to anything else than my way. Kids grow up and they say, he did his way, I'll do it my way. I'll go down a derech in Judaism my way. When the children see that their father, this is how I do it. But you know, there's a Messiah in Klal Yisrael by some people to do it a different way. Let's do it their way. Let's do it. Let's do it like them also. Let's show them respect. These are great people.
At least you can say, they know it.
Right, exactly. Achdus, exactly. This is not the halacha.
The past and present and also now.
You're showing, you're demonstrating the value of Messiah. In a way, and the way you demonstrate, it's just that it's not only minus, this is my Messiah. It's an example. You know, there's another mahalach. This is shalika halacha. You're not going to be yoytze the mitzvah with this. We were already yoytze the mitzvah. It's almost like a chiluk of Shulchan Aruch, right? Shulchan Aruch. We're going to do a zecher l'migdash kehillel. The focus, Rabbi Elsky says, the focus is not the word zecher l'migdash. The focus is kehillel. It's zecher l'migdash kehillel. This is how Hillel did it in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a little bit of a doichek because of the word l'migdash.
It's the same as
yeah, so something similar to that concept. The goal is this is not a takonas chazal to cover all bases. There's no such thing. Chazal told you the halach is like the chachonim. Done. What are you doing this? You're demonstrating to your children, don't push away anyone's disorder. Tonight is Lo Pesach. Tonight is all about transmitting the Messiah to your children. Part of that lesson is to acknowledge there are other people in this world that are different than you. All, of course, Orthodox, Shomrei Torah mitzvahs. There are 12 Shavatim. Each Shavit had their own Nusach HaTfilah. There are 12 Shavatim. Today we live in a very diverse world. We all know the Ashkenazim, Sfardim, Lubavitch, and the whole, you know, Edom Mizrachis. There's a whole world out there. A whole world out there. Have respect. It's not my way or the highway. Have derech eretz. And teach this to your children. How? By example. I was yoytze the mitzvah, this is the chachamim, and that's the only way to be yoytze the mitzvah. You know, there are other Jews out there in the world. They're our brothers. Acheinu b'nei Yisrael. Ruvein God, chas v'shev v'menashe. Nechutz liyardei. They're our brothers. They do things different. Zecher l'mikdash. Let's do a zecher l'mikdash kihila, the way Hillel did. That's what I do. Demonstrate respect to another Messiah. When you show that to your children, they'll have respect for you. And they'll also, it's a technique of giving over the Mesorah to the next generation. Okay, now let us move along to another idea. Let me talk about Lover. I found Belsky says something very, very novel. Unbelievably novel how he learns this psukim in Lover. We start the Haggadah, Lavan, incredible thing what he says. Lavan, BK Shlakas, Rami, the Psukma Bikurim. The Psukma Bikurim, Rami, when the person brings Bikurim, he puts down the basket from the Kohen, and it begins, with these words. Seul Lamad, Ma BK Lovon who Arami la says the Yaakov Avinu shapadu legozo ela lasachon v'lovon bikesh lakeres sakal. By the way, how do you know that? This is not only Rabbi Elsa. How do you know Paro only wanted to destroy the nails? Kol habein hayilod hayert hashlihu v'kol abas techayon. What did Lovon say to Yaakov when he ran away? Rabbi Mayavsky, habonim bonai. The bonim are mine, and the bonos are binosai. Okay, they're mine. He said explicitly, the boys and the girls, they're all mine. What does that mean? My influence upon them.
Right.
My influence, what was Lovin's name, is materialism. The ikar is the priority in life is not the girls. The priority in life is first you make a parnas, and then if you have some free time, you go to the dafya. The ikar is gashmis. And I have taught that to my daughters, my sons and my daughters. Paro wanted to murder the girls. Call a bas, do whatever you want. You want to go to Beis Yaakov, you want to focus, because on the hate. Love on BK Shla'akaris, I call to poison the mind of the boys and the girls. Okay, that's number one. Seleman Shapara le Gozer Elamas, Lovan BK Shlakare Sakal Shinema. Arami, who's the Arami? Lovan Huarami. Oved. Oved means he wanted to destroy Ovi, my father Yaakov. Now, here's a very incredible interpretation of this passage. Vayered Mitzrayma. How did he want to destroy? In addition to that, Yaakov Avinu had no choice but go to Mitzrayim. Now, this is what he says. Yaakov Avinu ran away. After 20 years, he fled. He saw that it was getting out of control. He fled. Lavan chased after him. Lavan overtook him. Hashem came to Lavan the night before and said, Lavan, don't you dare start up with Yaakov Avinu. The next morning, Lavan said to Yaakov, Yesh le'el yodi, I have power to destroy you, but Hashem came to me at night and told me not to touch you. At the end of this conversation, they made a bris, galeit, yigar sohadus. And the agreement was, Lavan, what was the monument? So the average person will assume it means, they made a monument, the Washington Monument, Statue of Liberty, a symbol, we made peace. That's not what it means. They built a wall. Trump and his wall. They built a wall. Galilee was a wall. It was a wall. Lavan, we're dividing the world. You don't come after me. You don't come past, don't go down south. Lavan was in the north. You don't go down south. And I won't bother you. I won't go up north. That's the depth of the Galilee. It wasn't just a monument. Listen, we're parted, we're separated. You're poison to me. Your hashkafa in this world is poison for clouds. Your hashkafa is the she'ifa for materialism. The priority in life has to be money. That hashkafa is poison. Stay away from it. And I won't bother you. I won't go attack you. They built a wall. I will not go north. You will not go south. Okay, no problem. Guess what happens? Yaakov settles in Eretz Yisrael, and then there's a famine. This is an incredible chiddush. This is a novel idea. Only Rabelsky says this idea. There was a famine in Egypt. You need food. The average, where's their food? There's only one place in the world where there's food, in Egypt. Wrong. There are two places in the world where there's food. Rabelsky says, Aram. You heard this? Rabelsky says, there wasn't only one place. There were two places. There's plenty of food. You can go up, or you can go then. You can go north, or you can go south. We can easily go up up north to Aram, buy plenty of food, or you can go down to Egypt and buy food. Yaakov really wanted to go north because it wasn't so bad there. There was no danger. Egypt was the air of Asar. It was Las Vegas. It was the air of Asar. Can you imagine? You need to buy, if you go to Kings, I need to buy food. So you can go into Shoprite, or you can go into some disgusting mockum of Zoinites, Reitzin. You're out of your mind. You got to be out of your mind. You go to the supermarket. I'm going to go into a place where they sell drugs, and who knows, to go buy a loaf of bread. You got to be out of your mind. Yaakov had a very big problem. He had nothing to eat. Where am I going to get food? I can go to Shoprite. But to go to Shoprite, I have to cross the border. I have to cross Galilee. So I can't do that. Because Yaakov ish emes. Yaakov could have went and made all these, emergency circumstance, pikuach nefesh. He could have had a million reasons why he can quickly sneak over the border, buy some food in Shoprite, come back, everything is illegal. But the Yaakov is an ish emes, a man of integrity. That's a powerful Muslim. And therefore, he had no choice. He had no choice. No choice of Vayered Mitzrayim. Okay, he had no choice of Arami Oyed Avi Vayered Mitzrayim. That was part of love and BK Shlaker Sakol. We do Shama. Okay, that was part of the problem. That was part of the problem of love and BK Shlaker Sakol. Lavan was very clever. Lavan, maybe I'm adding this maybe is a little bit embellishing of Rabelsky. I don't know if I can say this, but maybe Lavan was a genius. Lavan maybe knew, he knew about global warming, he knew about weather patterns and about cycles. By making this galley, I'm suggesting this, I'm trying to add more to Rabelsky. By Lavan making the galley, Lavan says, Lavan also was a nachish. When he came to get the trophim, what are you learning about? What's this trophim all about? He goes from room to room to room to room to room. I want my trophim back. What do you want your trophim? Nichosh. The trophim were used to divine, to predict the future. I'm suggesting that love and do is going to come at a point in time and this is going to be a very big famine. And the only place we can be able to get food is either in Aram or you go to Egypt. If you go to Aram, no big deal. You go to Aram, no one's going to harm you. You go to Aram, you buy some food. You buy something, you go to a nice, beautiful shopping store, buy food. You go to Egypt. The second you walk in Egypt, you're finished. Egypt is Las Vegas. They will swallow you up alive in the Ervasites. So here Yaakov runs away. Yaakov runs away. After 20 years, because he sees it, what Lavan is all about. Lavan is destroying his wife and his children, so he's influencing them. Habonim bonai, habonim spinosai. Yaakov is destroying these mashpia, a krumo hashkof on his children. So he runs away. Lavan says, I'm coming to get you. He comes to get you. Hashem says, don't touch him. Okay, won't touch him. But yeah, Lavan outsmarted Yaakov. Okay, Yaakov, let's make a galley. Lavan knew what was coming. He knew the future. He knew there's going to be a famine. He knew, I'm suggesting this, he knew there'll be a famine. He knew that Yaakov will have two choices. Either he can come back to Aram, or he can go down south to Egypt. Yaakov, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to make you go woke. You know how I'm going to make you go woke? I'm going to make with you a treaty don't ever step foot in my territory. And then when you're going to be starving to death, you're going to go down to Egypt. Boy, they'll finish you off there. Well, wait until you see what they do to you in the Erev Asa'aretz in that place. Lavan bikesh la'akar esakol. Every step of the way. Habonim bonai v'abonis b'nosai. Okay, I'll chase after you to kill you. I can't kill you. I'll make a galid. The galid was a technique to destroy Yaakov. Because Yaakov, because Lavan, who was a Nachish boy, with his terafin, he knew what's coming. You'll go to Egypt. Vayered Mitzrayimah will finish you off there. And Taka, what happened? They went down. Vayogoshamim Seimaot. They Taka had no choice. They went down. It was only in the B. It was Vayogar. Gerim. Vagerim. Vayisham Lugoy Godol Otsun Vorov. Now here Belsky elaborates on an incredible concept. What does it mean the word Vorov? Vorov. Rabbi Mayavsky was the Rav. What's Vorov? It means they were abundant. They became, so the Baal HaGadah basically says to people at the Seder, you guys at the Seder, I don't trust you people here. Not even a Chut HaSara. I'm going to have to translate for you every single word because you people sitting at the Seder don't know nothing. And I don't trust you to translate these words. So let me read for you the words. Oh, here's Rabelsky. Whose Dibor is this? What do you, when you read these words in the Haggadah, what do you say? Onus, Yaakov Avinu had no choice. Al pi hadibor. Hashem told him, right? Ravelf, wrong. Yaakov's Dibor. Galed. He took a Shavua. Onus, why? Vayered Mitzrayim. Why did Yaakov Avinu have to go to Mitzrayim, to the Erev Asa'aretz, to buy food? Just go across the street to Iran. It's a beautiful shop right. So Rabelsky actually deals with that. Al pnei aretz means only, what about Mitzrayim? It wasn't Mitzrayim. Al pnei aretz means an Eretz Canaan. Eretz Canaan. There wasn't a Rav in Egypt. Al pnei kol.
Okay.
Okay. He explains. Rabelsky deals with Mamashi deals with that. Okay. Here. Listen, nothing is going to be perfect.
By the way, who was most early in the Forish on this, what he was saying, is Theonis Ben Ziel in Moloch.
Yeah.
When he says, by Pilo Chetzel Hashir. On that Pusik, Theonis Ben Ziel said, he's riding in an open field. You're on an open road. And what kind of care?
Yeah.
He's crossing. Now
let it go here.
Yes, now Yaakov didn't cross the line. Now Bilam is crossing the line.
Violation.
Oh, he banged into the wall.
He's in violation. He broke.
This is Shalosh Shavuos.
This is very relevant. The sign of love. The Shalosh Shavuos. The Shalosh Shavuos is there. No Shalosh Shavuos anymore. After the Crusades, the Inquisition, the Holocaust, there's no Shalosh Shavuos anymore. They stepped over. They broke. Once they broke the Shavua, then and this is the rebuttal to the Samarav. There's no Shalosh Shavuos. Exactly what you say with Yisrael Zeal. Okay, but anyway, Vayeh, this is an awesome, awesome Chiddush, and it's unbelievable. I always bother you. Onus al pi hadibor. What? What does that mean? Onus. The word onus is not the right word. Hashem told him, you go to Mitzrayim. Onus. I have no choice. What do you mean, I have no choice? You do whatever you want. Hashem. This is unbelievable. Onus, I made a Shavua. We made a bris. Yegar Soadusa, Yaakov Ish Emes, my Dibur, not Hashem's Dibur.
No, Yaakov didn't want to go down to the tribe, but God, I'll be a Dibur. God told him to
go. Oh, that's the Pashup Shot. Right? Belsky says that's not the Pashup Shot.
I understand, but that's basically.
Enochrami, that's the Pashup Shot. That's how I always understood it, and it always bothered me. What does it mean? The language is not, if you're writing the Haggadah and you want to bring out this poem, it's not the words you would choose.
No, I know.
Honest al pi hadibor. So what does it mean, honest al pi hadibor? Rabelsky says, now the words make sense. Yaakov Avinu, Lavan, once again outsmarted him. Lavan always wins. It's unbelievable. He always wins. Rachel and Leah, he worked 7 years. He fooled him, he gave him Leah. And then the Machlis, as Maskuti has said this morning, Yaakov is always the victim. And now he tries to kill him. Okay, I'm not going to kill him, but you know what I'll do? I have my trophim. My trophim told me that in a couple of years from now, there's going to be a famine. And there's only two places, my hometown and Egypt. You know what? Let's make a wall and make a treaty. You're not going to my territory. You know what's going to happen to Yaakov? You're going to go to Egypt. Ooh, you're not going to survive there one day. And Nach, see, almost all PLD, you had no choice to go down to Egypt. Next, Vayogar Sham. So Yaakov, we're not going to settle here. You know, this is just going to be a short stay to buy some food. Shenemark next. Then it goes Bimsei Maot. Okay, 70 souls. Okay, Vayisham Lugoi. Melame Shal Yishol Mitzvayim Sham. Awesome. Okay, they were mighty. 6 in 1 shot. Now here comes an incredible chiddush. Love and always wins. Vora. Whoa, how would the average person translate well? They were numerous. Right now, the truth is it's already superfluous because it already says Lugoy Godol, and then it says Otsum. So what more are you gonna say?
Not just many, but prominent.
They were slaves, they turned into slaves. Well, they weren't so prominent. Okay, Barak. So the truth is the Baal Haggadah basically says, like every single Rashi shows that every single thing that it says in the Haggadah is really not the Pashup Shah. You know, Chazal say, Das Balabayis Hepuch Midas Torah. That if not for the Torah, you would say, you always say a Kurm of Shah in the Pashup. Okay, but now he comes to the raw, prominent, abundant, special Chashup. The Baal Haggadah tells you what the word Rav means. You know what it means? It means vil. It's an insult. The Jewish people, they went down to Egypt. They were out of control. Exactly what Lavan wanted to happen. Lavan always wins. Vildechayis, exactly. Vildechayis. No respect for the law. No discipline. Out of control. Everyone is beautiful. It's very nice, right? On the outside, everything looks very nice, very nice. Chesed, you'll be in the newspaper, you have all of these nice Chesed organizations. A vilkart. How do you know what it means? Chazal tell you, Varov, Kemoshe Nemar, Urivovo, Kitzema Chas. Let me tell you a joke. A rabbi joke. Rabbi Boyevsky, who really passes all the halachas? Your wife. My grandfather would say, the Rav, what does the Rav have to say? Kimosh and Emma Ravon, whatever the Rebbe says. My grandfather will say this. Say the Rav, what's up the Rav? Whatever the Rebbe, Kimosh and Emma Ravon. Okay, so what is it over here? Rav, Kimosh and Emma Ravava, they were abundant. This is a real low blow. This is a really, really big. To the Jewish people, Chazal here in the Haggadah, Mitchila is Maschil the Gnai, Umesayim Mishvach. This is a real Gnai. Kitzema Chasod, weeds. No discipline. Vilka, grass grows. Wherever you want to look around. What's the Rav? Revava, an abundance. What kind of Revava? Kitzema Chasod, Nisaticha. Fatirbi, you increase, particularly Fatavoy Ba'adi Adoyim. It says over here, you had beautiful ornaments. You're fabulously wealthy. You're out of control. Shaddai Nochoinu, they were giving people. The Shaddai Nochoinu means they were like a woman who nurses. You're feeding other people. Tzedaka v'chesed. Usarech tzimach. You're here. It grew wild, or maybe you'll say it blossomed. But you know what it says here? But at a run the area, you were naked. You were.
Was it like you were physically mature?
Everything on the outside looks wonderful. There's an abundance. But the truth is, it's just an empty shell. It's an empty shell. This is how Rabbi Belsky learns. This expression, you're like grass. Grass is not a mile. That's weeds. weeds. And even though, what do you mean? This, look at the population. We have an incredible population growth. And also look at the wealth, look how much money, look at, go down, look at these beautiful homes where they built for themselves. They built for themselves palaces in Goshen. Beautiful adornments. And they were very gracious. They were giving. They gave tzedakah. Mm-hmm. They were nursing other people's children, which means they're very gracious. But you know what the truth is? It's a shefa of bracha without any discipline. Without any control. Like, you know, today there are multi-millionaires. Every other day you hear stories about these multi-billionaires. And they give tzedakah. And then they tell you, you see this guy's house over here? You go pay, you know whose house this is? It's this Gavir's house. And you look at this house and you say, Gavir, what did this guy build? Goes and he knocks down a whole block and he builds himself a mansions and these people, they make these weddings that are like totally like, we hear these stories. Is this really the Dorsho Mashiach? The Mashiach will come. Do you think these people are going to be proud to take them into their home? Look at my checkbook. I gave $100 million to stop them. These guys, Olam Haba, I don't have a penny to give. Who am I to open my mouth? There's something not right. There's something not right. There is incredible Torah. Chesed. But there's no hadroch. There's a vilkat. It's dangerous. You never saw this before. Years ago, you never gevirim. When I was a kid, you never heard of gevirim, like gevirim on display. They were Gedolei Yisrael, and they were lay leaders, people like our Sherer. Sherer wasn't a rich man, none that I know of. If he was rich, he certainly didn't display it. And they were the spokesman for Klal Yisrael. They were the representative, a whole list of Gedolim and lay leaders. They spoke for Klal Yisrael, and they raised money. They were certainly very wealthy people there, not as many as there are. Today, it's a different world. Today, the Rosh Yeshivas are totally on the side. And who's leading? Not leaders, the ones who are all the MCs and all the big manhigim of the door are these fabulously rich people. Money talks to them. If they didn't have a dollar, they didn't have money, you wouldn't look at them. You wouldn't even look at these people. But because they have all the money, this, I'm not trying to be mekatre, but this is what Radolsky says. This is how he says. This was the problem. And who designed this? Who's the mastermind behind this problem? Lavan. Lavan is a genius. Lavan is an evil genius. Lavan, he saw he couldn't do the job with Yaakov Avinu. He tried to switch to his wives. He tried to habon and bon, I have habonus b'noisai. So you know what he did? He made the galate. The galate, where are you going to go? You're going to go to Mitzrayim. What happened to Mitzrayim? Exactly what Lavan wanted. You increased in number, you became fabulous and successful, but you know what the end of the day is? Varov. You won.
The only problem is that Yaakov made the
Lavan convinced him to make the gap. That was the brilliance of Lavan. That was the, you have to go, you have to look into the psukim. And Lavan, they made, there was the Lavan, you know, the greatest chachma. In anything you do is don't tell people what to do. It's the worst thing you can ever do, to tell someone. You have to present the conditions that the person on his own, this is what you want to do. That's the only way it works. You tell someone what to do, the first thing, you tell you what to do, I'll do the opposite.
Right.
You have to present the conditions and show the person what's going on and allude, and then that person, this is what we should do. Oh, that's success. That's success. I know a guy, I tell him every Shabbos, he's involved in an organization, and he's way ahead of the people that he works with. And he's always fighting with them and telling them what to do. And I always try to tell him, don't tell them what to do. Just be smart and let them think they're making the right decision.
Plant the seed.
Make the conditions that they should come to the conclusion that you want them to come to, and they should think that it's their decision. Then they'll do it. You're going to tell them what to do right away. You're on the defense. The bottom line is they made this gal. Onus al pi hadibro, Yaakov had no choice but to go to Mitzrayim. And everything started very nice. Vayogoshon, only here for a couple of days. All of a sudden, they're there for good. And they got successful. And they're rich. And they're famous. Vorov is a Wildkeit. And that Wildkeit is going to destroy. That's not Torah. That is not a Derech HaTorah. It's not a Derech HaTorah. It's a Wildkeit. I remember once someone I heard this from many, many years ago, I know who the leader was. He was a multi billionaire. Everyone probably knows his name. And this story goes back at least 10 years ago, maybe even more, where he lost an enormous amount of money. An enormous amount of money, many, many millions, gone overnight. And this person gave to Tzedakah also, off the charts. He went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky and he said to him, how do I understand this? How could Hashem do this to me? It's like a freak thing. I do everything I'm supposed to do. I give all this stock up. How did this happen? I had in the bank all this and it was just gone. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, what? You had in the bank money lying around? I can't understand. Why was the money lying around? Why was the line, if you had the money, you don't need it, should have been given away right away. What was the line? He preempted his coming for Nechama. How did I lose all this money? And he said, Rav Chaim says, how did he even have the money to begin with? The money shouldn't have been in the bank. The money should have been already spent before you lost the money. Okay, I mean, obviously, I don't think this person has changed his business practices at all, but it is a Musa. Mashiach comes. Mashiach comes today. You're not going to be embarrassed to come into my house. Mashiach will look around. This is your house? This is where you live? You got to be joking. What was wrong with the other house? I know someone, a very well good there. Beautiful, beautiful house. Lechos Ardov. Mamash Lechos Ardov. And then I was walking, someone showed me a mansion like you never in your life saw. This is his new house. Okay, listen, who am I? I guess my claim to come doesn't understand how the world works and how there are certain things that have to be done in order to, you know, to promote. I remember I was someone that was in yeshiva, so we were very big, very gave $1 million to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And some mamish, a Irish guy beyond belief. So people were like, this guy's nuts, $1 million he gave to the Metropolitan, like, guy's out of his mind. Someone says, you shaitan, you're on this thing, shaitan shiva olam. This guy is part of a club of all these multi-millionaires, billionaires. And this guy, one of the people, Haverim, this is what he likes, a guy, this is what it means. So he makes a collection. So he gives, so this Gavir, this the Sherman, gives $1 million. You know why? Because the fact is that in a short time from now or next year, he's going to make an appeal. You know what I like? You know what I like? I like Torah. I'm an Orthodox Jew. I promote Jewish education, Torah. I want to help out Jewish education. I'm giving $1 million. How much are you giving? The guy that he gave $1 million to his project with the Metropolitan Museum, he gives now $5 million. You give $1 million to the Metropolitan Museum, you'll get back $5 million. I saw that, and you see this. You gotta watch yourself. Okay, I'm not chas v'shalom. Trying to put myself in a bad place. Don't be done. Everyone lekaf zuchus. Everything how the world works, how these things work, you know, in the different leagues. But this is how Rabbi Elchanan learned Shabbos pasuk, and to me it's like wow. This really it creates an entirely new perspective on what exactly is going on with Lava. Lava Yaakov goes to marry a woman. From there, it's all downhill. Lavan outsmarts in every step of the way. And that's how he presents the whole story of the Haggadah. And this what to learn. Obviously, in our generation, we should not fall into the trap. The most meaningful part of this drasha for me is the word baruch, is wildkeit, is not to live a life of kitzema chasodeh, weeds, just everything has to be disciplined. And we see that today in society. It has to be hadrocha inside.